Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. Excited to talk today as we wrap up this teaching series we've been in called Great Expectations. And I was thinking about March last year, kind of when the shutdown happened and all of that was going on. I started to get vertigo. Anybody ever had vertigo before? Like, I'd never had vertigo before, but it's a trip, y'all, because you're just standing there and all of a sudden it just feels like everything starts spinning, you know, like you could fall down at any moment. And I remember I would, everywhere, you know, I'd be talking to somebody and all of a sudden I'd just be like, whoa. And you couldn't really go to the doctor back in March, April. The whole world shut down. It was crazy. I wasn't sure kind of what to do. We had so much going on with our food distribution work and so many things happening at the church that, like, there was no stopping. And that was actually good for me because I found that with vertigo, if the vertigo hit, I would just move through it. As long as I was moving, I was okay. So I found that I would start, even when I would teach, if I go back and look at video, I do this a lot more in that season. This is me trying to not fall down. Don't fall down. Don't fall down. And if I was in a conversation with somebody, I would just sort of lean up against, you know, a chair or the bar. I'd just have my hand over there, even if I was all good, because I didn't know when the vertigo was going to hit. And I didn't really know what was happening to me. I didn't know if I was about to stroke out or what, you know, but I think a lot of it was stress, because after like April, moving into May, all of a sudden it just went away. So awesome. But I was thinking about that vertigo and how weird that experience was. And I think that's kind of an emotional, spiritual experience a lot of us have had and are still having over this past year. It just feels like things are kind of shaky. Things are, at any moment, like the ground can move under your feet, right? We're still trying to get our bearings a little bit. And, I find that sometimes I can get emotional at the most random things that just don't, you know, like just the thought of something opening up again, of going to a music concert. I'm kidding. I mean, we're not out of this thing yet, right? We're all still kind of in it, navigating it. And some of you are like, just the thought of getting a paycheck, you know? We're still navigating this vertigo. And I think we're going to be navigating it for a while. And then after this season is over and we're in the next season, probably for a long time after that, we're going to be navigating kind of what we've lived through over the last year. I think about all the things we've experienced just navigating this last year. Certainly the pandemic and the shutdown and job losses and the economic impact, racial injustice and the protests around racial injustice, all the political stuff, the storming of the capital of America, you know, like, a lot of vertigo. The good news today is one of the things that I've been holding on to, that I think we can all hold on to as believers, is this, that God's faithfulness will hold you together even when things are falling apart. God's faithfulness can ground us even when things feel very unsteady and uncertain. In fact, check this out. Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning in verse 4. I'll read this scripture. When we get to the red word, just read it out loud wherever you're at. It's kind of how we make sure everybody's awake. We're all paying attention. We're dialed in. It's God's word. Here we are, Deuteronomy 32, 4. It says this about God. He is the what? Rock, the rock. You thought Dwayne Johnson was the rock. No. God is the OG rock. He's the original rock. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright he is. God is a rock, and his faithfulness is what we can stand on when everything feels like it's up in the air. So I've got a rock here with me today. To the Israelites, to the Hebrew mind, the calling God a rock, which they did often in the Bible, was really a statement of God's not only his reliability, his trustworthiness, but also it was like a sense of protection, that God is like a fortress built of stone, that he will protect you. It was also a reference to what you could stand on. You could stand on a rock and it would be solid ground. Jesus would later tell a story, and he would talk about a man who built his house on the rock. And it was a picture, a metaphor for God's word and God's character. He built his life on the rock. And when the storms came and the rain came and the floods came, right? When things got woozy, the house stood that was built on the rock. So today, as we wrap up this teaching series on God and who he is and how he reveals himself, I want to talk to you about the power of the faithfulness of God and how we can stand on God's faithfulness. And one of the first things that we can hang on to right now is to stand on God's character. Stand on God's character in your life. I saw this little thing on social media. I thought it was pretty funny. Says this: yesterday I overheard my 2-year-old saying, "Are you sure this is a good idea?" And my 5-year-old saying, "Trust me. I have never moved from one room to another so quickly in my life," right? Every parent says, "Hey, man, I know what that's all about." Some people, like the 5-year-old, may not yet be worthy of trust, but God is worthy of trust, and we can stand on his character. Remember when I was just dating Lori and I was trying to impress her? Lori grew up with her dad having a boat, and they weren't too far. We didn't live too far from a lake in Texas, and so they would go out on the lake. So she grew up water skiing, and she could, you know, only use one ski, whatever you call that, and like she was amazing, right? And I didn't really know anything about water skiing, but we were out at the lake, and I was like, I got to do it. I'm going to impress her. I'm going to show her. And I remember, you know, I'm water skiing, and we get going. It's my first time, and I'm hanging on, and I'm up on my feet, and I'm like, this is so cool. I'm water skiing. And no, I'll never forget this, y'all. This marked me. It changed me. I'm surprised I was able to have children. I did the splits, water skiing, full on, legs apart, whole thing, and I committed like the number one water skiing sin. You know, I didn't let go of the rope because I was so scared, right? Everybody's yelling. I could tell they're all yelling something. Now I know, let go of the rope. I got a nasal enema, y'all. That's what happened. It was crazy. And I think that experience is what a lot of us have in our journey with God. Like we know God's trustworthy. We know we can stand on his character. The problem is, like, we start to trust ourselves sometimes. We start to panic. We start to move in the midst of the craziness and just rely on ourselves. Or we get afraid and we let our emotions start to take over. Or, you know, we find ourselves, you know, in a situation where we're just drifting spiritually and we're not really sure that we can continue to turn to God. We still love God, but we've been unfaithful and we aren't sure God loves us. And here's the good news. Even when you fall, even when you fail, God's faithfulness holds. He is a faithful God. He will remain the same. No matter all through our ups and downs, through our failing, through our mistakes, through our sins, through our regrets, right, through our relational drama, through the mistakes that we make as kids and then the mistakes we make as parents, through the mistakes that we make as employees or the mistakes we make as owners, all through the ups and the downs, God will be faithful. So we've been looking at Exodus 34 in the Old Testament. And it's a fascinating passage because it's the most quoted passage in the Old Testament by Old Testament writers, prophets, the psalmists, the history books. They allude to this passage or they quote it in the Old Testament more than any other passage. It was their anchor passage. And it's when God reveals himself to Moses and in his own words reveals who he is. He lays out his character. So check this out. Book of Exodus 34, chapter 6. God says this to Moses. He says, "Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and" what? Faithfulness. Unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, we've been working through these different categories. Let's go to the next slide. Just to remember again the last several weeks that we've covered, we talked about God's compassion week one. We talked about how interesting it is that God introduces himself as a God of compassion first. He's not like, you know, I'm the God who's powerful and strong and I'll squash you like a bug. No, I'm the God of compassion, which tells us God will care for you in your life. He's concerned. He's a different God. And he's a God filled with favor. He will bless you in your life. He'll show you mercy. He'll show you grace. We looked at how God is filled with patience, that God won't simply cancel you. Thank God, God doesn't cancel, right? Because all of us would have been canceled by now. So we fail, we make mistakes, we sin, but God is a patient God. Last week we looked at his loyal love, that God is committed to your good and that he will be loyal to you in your life. And the thing that kind of ties all of these things up in a powerful way is this fifth characteristic, that God is filled with faithfulness, that he will be faithful to you. Look, in James, in the Bible, it says that God does not change. He doesn't change. There's no shifting of shadows in him. He's all light. He's all good. And since he's already perfect, he can't become any better, and he will never be less than he is. It's good news for us. God is, he's nothing like me. He's nothing like you. He's nothing like that person who broke your heart. He's nothing like that person that made you feel so small. He's nothing like that person that cut you down or that person that said that you were nothing. He's nothing like the one who manipulated you. He's nothing like the one who abused you or treated you one way one day and another way the next day. He's a dependable father. I mean, he's not fickle. He's not going to gaslight you. Come on. He's not going to forget you. He's giving, loving, caring. He's always there. He's listening. He's helping. He's working. He's always for you, and he will always be for you as his child. He is faithful. And so we can expect good things. And I've been saying it each week through this teaching series. I don't know what's going to happen in 2021, but we can have great expectations because we have a great God. It's who he is that we can put our trust in. It's his faithfulness that will see us through. And think about this. We can trust that God will be faithful, that he will bless us, that he will work in our lives, not only today, not only tomorrow, not only in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, not only in our lives, in our kids' lives, in our grandkids' lives, for future generations, but all through eternity, because he is the rock. He does not change. And so we can stand on his character today. This week, I don't know what kind of challenges that you'll face. I know there's a lot of challenges people are continuing to face. We may be getting a little numb to the crisis of the last 9 months, but the needs are so real in people's lives. I was serving at one of the food pantries this week, and just being out there, four lines of cars, people coming through for a solid hour. We're given just all kinds of food, putting in the backs of these cars. By the way, it's the first time we ever had dog food that was donated. So, you know, I'm like, you want dog food? Everybody's like, yeah, I'll take dog food, yeah. I'll take anything. Load it up. But it's a constant reminder that those needs are still there and they're real, and so many people are still struggling and they're hurting and they're hanging on right now, but God will still be faithful. Listen, we can smile and have joy because God will be faithful when the money's good and work's good and the relationship's good, and when the money's gone and work's gone and we don't know when it's coming back. We can still walk with joy because we stand on a God who we trust in. We believe that he is who he said he is, that he will see us through the current storm. And so each day, we just hang on to him. We hold on in faith. We trust. We believe. He's faithful. I mean, he's like my friend I saw before service wearing a Dallas Cowboys mask. That's some faith. That's faithful. And God is even more faithful than that. He'll stand by you. He'll stand with you. He'll stand with me. And every now and then, I just got to give myself the pep talk that I'm giving you. I got to remind myself, Judd, you trust in a faithful God. Don't doubt his character. Don't doubt that he is who he said he is. Sometimes I look around and I can't always see where it's going to come from. Sometimes I look around, I'm not sure where the resources are going to come from, where the strength is going to come from, how we're going to get through this thing that we're facing. But it's amazing. One way or another, in this life or the next, God will always see us through. He's faithful. And so we can stand on God's character. The second thought for you is this: stand on God's promises. Stand on his promises today. Relationships are often anchored around some kind of an agreement. A lot of our working relationships are. You have contracts for your cell phone coverage and different work contracts that we work out. We work out these agreements. And when Lori and I were dating before we got married, we made some agreements. It wasn't like a prenup or anything. It was just like a conversation. But the agreement was this, like we did the distribution of daily tasks thing. And in the agreement, Lori says, "You take out the trash, and I'll handle the laundry." Sweet. And I thought that was it. The rest of my days, I would take the trash out. And the rest of my days, I would never do the laundry. Not only did I marry way outside of my framework, if you know what I'm saying, not only did I kind of marry way outside of my realm, I'll never forget my mentor had known Lori from the time she was born, knew her whole family, pastor, friend of mine, and we were traveling together one day, and I leaned over and I said, "You know, I've been dating Lori," he knew, "for a long time, and you know, we tell our kids a really long time, 6 months." And I said, "I think I'm gonna ask this girl to marry me." Don't do what I did, kids, right? You know, do what I say. At least a year. Date for at least a year. I said, "I think I'm going to ask her to marry me. What do you think?" And this was literally the first thing he said: "You're never going to do better than that." He's like, "Dude, you're at a whole other league right now." And so we made an agreement. A lot of things. We distributed everything up. We got married. It was great. And for 24 years now, I've been taking the trash out. 24 years. I'm going to say Lori's taken it out 3 times? 5? 10? Not many. But here's the thing I didn't understand. I thought I was going to do the trash. She was going to do the laundry. That was the agreement. But there was a loophole in the agreement. I didn't realize that if I criticized how she did my laundry, she'd just stop doing my laundry. Come on, ladies. So in case you're wondering, ooh, Pastor Judd does his own laundry, y'all. Iron my own stuff, get my own stuff out, take it down to the washer, just like everybody else, do my own laundry, because there was a loophole. The good news today, and I'm happy to do my own laundry, because that way I get it done the way I like it done. I don't have to worry about stuff getting shrunk on me, getting mixed in. I love you, Lori. The good news for us today is that God has an agreement with us as his kids, and there aren't any loopholes. God's agreement, in biblical terms, we would call a covenant. That God has a covenant, an agreement with his people. And theologians debate, like, how many covenants God has throughout the Bible with his people, but I want to look at two with you briefly today. One of them in the Old Testament was the covenant that God made with Abraham. And here we kind of read the breakdown of this. It says Genesis chapter 15. It says, well, first of all, in Genesis 12, God says, look, Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. You're going to become a great nation, which was a huge thing because he couldn't have kids. And you're going to basically through you, the whole world is going to be blessed, right? This was the promise. And then it says, then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. Now he's talking to somebody who can't have children. So you can imagine like, what? You're going to have this many descendants, as many as you can see in the stars. And then it says this, and Abram, what? Believed the Lord. Interesting, the word translated believe here is from the same root as the word faithfulness. We talk about God being faithful. Our response to God's faithfulness is faith. Our response to God's goodness, to his promise, is belief. He believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. This verse is very important. It will come up, this phrase again, in the book of Romans to talk about how our own faith in Jesus tends to work in similar ways. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. And so then the very next sentence, Abraham says, well, how do I know you're going to do this? Like, how do I know you're really going to do this? Because, you know, we haven't been able to have kids, whatever. Like, how do I know, you're going to do this? And so they make a covenant. Now, the way they made a covenant in the ancient world was pretty gruesome. They would take certain animals, and they would kill them and split them in two. So you'd have two pieces, one on each side, and then you would walk between the pieces with the person that you're making the covenant with. Some of you right now are like, what? Different era. But here's what's happening when they would walk between the pieces. It was a visual statement. They were saying, may God do this to me. May he split me in two if I don't fulfill the promise that I'm making to you. Now that's hardcore. That was a lot more than like, we'll just shake on it. So God says to Abraham, you know, prepare the covenant. Abraham gets everything ready. They're going to walk between the pieces. And then something fascinating happens. God puts Abraham into a deep sleep. And God alone passes between the pieces. Because only God can be faithful to keep up his end of the deal. God made a covenant with himself based on his own faithfulness, not on Abraham's. And he would be faithful to that covenant. That is good news. So when you talk about God who says he's faithful, it's hard to talk about the faithfulness of God from a biblical standpoint and not think about the covenants that God makes with people and his faithfulness to his own agreements that he makes with people. In Abraham's case, briefly, we can see it. God did each thing that he promised him. Check it out. He says, I'll make your name great. We're talking about Abraham now. Thousands of years later, he's considered the father of the Jewish faith, hugely influential and important. He says, I will make you into a great nation. From Abraham come the Israelite people, the Jewish race, and so obviously that nation is still in existence today. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And this not only do we have kind of as a foundation as you look back at our faith and the revelation of God through the Bible and the teaching of God, not only from Abraham but through the Israelites all the way to Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of this agreement that God made based on his own faithfulness with himself. Now, here's where it gets good. Another covenant gets introduced as we move into the New Testament of the Bible, and that's at the Last Supper, where Jesus is gathering with his disciples. Let's go to this next verse here. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 20. And Jesus is talking, and it's right before he's betrayed and then handed over and ultimately crucified. And he says, so they take the bread and the cup, and Jesus says, this cup is the what? The new, what? Covenant. You see that? This is the new covenant. There have been other covenants, but this is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. So I know in the current world, we wrestle sometimes with the talk of blood and the cross and animals and sacrifice, but there's tremendous like symbolism here, and there's a picture that runs through the centuries when it comes to agreements, and Jesus saying, this covenant, this agreement God is making with you, it's about me and my sacrifice. I'm the one who's giving his life. It's poured out as a sacrifice for you. And here's the good news. God has made a covenant with you in Jesus Christ. And if you will believe in him, simply through faith, just like with Abraham, if you will believe, if you'll have faith in the faithfulness of God through Jesus Christ, it will be credited to you as righteousness. You will stand righteous and justified before God. You'll receive his forgiveness, his grace, his favor, his compassion. And the good news is, it's not about what kind of day you had today. It's not about whether you were faithful today. It's not about whether you have it all kind of worked out in your life today. It's not about whether you're cheering for Tom Brady or whether you're a Mahomes fan. It's ultimately about what God did for us in Jesus Christ. It's the new agreement based on his own faithfulness to himself. That covenant, he will be faithful to that covenant, that agreement. And I talk to so many people that are carrying around such shame and guilt. And I understand there's a consequence for our sins and for my sin, and I have my own shame and guilt. But don't let shame and guilt define you as a person of faith. Jesus died to deal with that issue in your life. God's going to be faithful to you, not because you've been so faithful, but because that's who he is. And he made an agreement in Christ's blood to be faithful to his kids who follow him in faith. He's going to be faithful. I saw this post on social media. This person says this: I've been a Christian for 5,243 days. I've been unfaithful to Jesus in each of those 5,243 days. But he's been faithful to me in each of those 5,243 days. Oh, what a good God. Jesus has chosen not to remember my sins, and I've chosen not to forget his grace. Second Timothy chapter 2, 23, it says, even when we are unfaithful, God will still be faithful because he cannot deny who he is. So even when your faith fails, God is faithful to forgive you. God is faithful to restore you. God is faithful to bless you. He's faithful to protect you and watch over you. He's faithful to defend you. He's faithful to love you. He's faithful to walk with you. He's faithful to answer your prayers. He's faithful to see you through difficulty. He's faithful to bless you and your children and your grandchildren. He's faithful. He's faithful to rewrite the script of previous generations. He's faithful to help you overcome abuse. He's faithful to help you overcome addiction. He's faithful to help you experience joy and peace. He's faithful to provide for you financially. He's faithful to meet your needs. He's faithful to help you forgive others. He's faithful to help you do more in this life than you could ever ask or imagine. He's faithful. He'll see you through this life. He'll see you into the next life. He's faithful for all eternity. He's faithful today, tomorrow, and every day. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. He's faithful. He will not turn away from the good that he is determined to do in your life. And so your relationship with God, my relationship with God, it's not based on our performance. It's based on his faithfulness in Jesus Christ. It's never a question of how good you are. It's always a question of how good you believe God is. That's the question. Do you believe God will do what he says he will do? Do you believe that he'll forgive? Do you believe he'll restore? Do you believe he'll bless? Do you believe he's gifted you? Do you believe he guides you? Do you believe he strengthens you? Do you stand on his promises? Do you stand on his character? Friends, if you do, you'll find that even though those moments of vertigo may come, pretty quick you realize you're on solid ground. And that ground isn't going to move. And the storms may come, and the pandemics may come, Pain may come, unemployment may come, loss may come, but joy will also come. Laughter will also come. Friendship will also come. Hope will also come. And through it all, we stand on the rock that is God, His character, His promises, and it steadies us and it sees us through. God's faithfulness can hold you together even when everything falls apart. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never crossed that line of faith in your life. I'd love to give you an opportunity just to reach out to the God who is faithful to you in Jesus Christ, who has already provided a way through faith, like Abraham, by simply believing that Jesus is who he says he was, that he did what he says he came to do, by simply placing your trust in Christ. The Bible says it will be credited to you as righteousness. Your faith is in God's faithfulness, and he will be faithful to you. Some of you, maybe you're here and God's been tapping you on the shoulder. He's been calling you to come home to him. And if that's where you're at, I'd love to give you an opportunity just to reach out to God and allow him to move and work in your life. So would all of you bow your heads and close your eyes? You could be in that spiritual journey by repeating this prayer after me. Just say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. And friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, wherever you're at, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just reach out to him and acknowledge you're going to follow him in your life today. You're going to surrender your life to him. You're going to trust his faithfulness. Slip your hand in the air. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for each person reaching out, trusting you, following you. I pray you'll fill them with your goodness, your mercy, your compassion. God, we thank you for this moment when we can come together and worship and reflect and be encouraged. And I pray this week you'll remind us of your faithfulness in every aspect of our lives. Give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen.